you're here. A bunch of our leaders are gone. We have Meet the Pastors today. So there's several of us hanging out after church. We have a catered lunch coming in. And the Meet the Pastors is just, you get to hear a little more about the church history and who we are as pastors and what this church is really about. You get to see a little more and ask questions and get any clarification that you want. So sign up for the next one. I think it's in about 6 weeks. You can sign up at the Information Center or back in the link. Make sure if you're new today, you go to the link. The link is out the double doors and immediately to the left. And there's candy in there and there's a little bit of healthy food too. And we just want to meet with you and visit with you a little bit, give you a little more information and get questions for you if you have any questions. And you can sign up for Meet the Pastors. We really want everybody, can you just repeat that word, everybody?
Everybody.
Everybody to go through Meet the Pastors lunch. So you might have been here 30 years. We still want you to come meet us. We still want you to experience the process, and you can help us out with that. So don't be shy, sign up, and you will love it. We're in this series called Upgrade. I was thinking this morning as I was driving to church, sometimes we only upgrade when the stuff we have quits working. Anybody like that? You're so cheap. You're going to wear it out, use it up, squeeze that toothpaste, and get the last little bit out of it. And sometimes we do that with our cars and our computers and all sorts of things. But there's another group of people that they love to upgrade. They love the experience of the new capacity, the new capability, the new pleasure and joy that comes with the upgraded automobile or the upgraded iPad or iPhone, or, you know, we love to upgrade our phones and upgrade all that kind of stuff. So I would encourage you to not wait until something crashes before you upgrade. I'd encourage you to get a little bit ahead of that curve. The reason I was thinking about it, because I'm driving my 2000 Buick to church. It's like 15 years old, and I'm thinking I need to upgrade to a Ford, is what I was thinking, actually. I know some of you don't think that is an upgrade, and you have the right to be wrong. But in your life, God wants to upgrade you. He wants to upgrade your experience with Him. He wants to upgrade your relationships. And so we're talking about that. The second title of this series is just Encounter. When you encounter God, you can't help but be upgraded. You can't help but be encouraged, lifted up, a little wiser, a little more compassionate, a little more understanding, a little more hopeful when you encounter God. And so 2015 is a year we're saying, God, we want to encounter you in ways that we've never encountered you before. We want you to show us things that we've never seen before. We want you to open our mind and our heart to experience things we've never experienced before. We want an upgrade. And Arby's been preaching the last 2 weeks. I listened to the CDs, and man, he's like my favorite preacher. So you're not going to get any cougar hunting stories today. Bummer, I know, but I just love listening to him. I actually preached his sermon in Lewiston last night. In Lewiston, at our campus there, we are a week delayed. So I get to listen to Arby's sermon and try to figure out how to tell cougar stories and repeat that in Lewiston. I just want you to know it's not near as good coming through this filter. But today, the title is Upgrades Via the Wilderness. Sometimes you wouldn't think those two things go together. But in God's world, those two things go together. Some of your best upgrades can happen in your wilderness experiences with life. And I want to talk to us a little bit about that today. The wilderness can either make you or break you. How many's ever been broken in the wilderness? Yeah, me too. I felt like Elijah a couple times. God, I'm the only one, and they hate me. Just kill me. Take me home. And Kari says, you're the pastor. You got to go to church. I've had my upgrade experiences in the wilderness too. Satan chases you in the wilderness trying to destroy you, but God meets you in the wilderness trying to upgrade you. Yeah, I've been chased by Satan, but I resist him, and he flees from me. We're going to read about Jesus in the wilderness being tempted by Satan and how all that worked out in just a little bit. But when God meets me in the wilderness, he says, Callie, let me teach you something. Let me show you something. Let me impart a new strength into your life. Let me expand my grace in you. Let me expand my mercy in you. Today, I really wanted to preach a message on grace and mercy be multiplied into your life. I've been studying that for this series, and it's just not time for it yet. I needed to talk about this instead. Do not be afraid of the wilderness. Arby told a story last week about his cougar hunters. Maybe I am going to tell cougar stories. Last week, Arby told this story about cougar hunters who were on the snow machines, and they were out with the dogs, Arby and the other guide, and they heard the wolves howling, and they thought that would be really cool for these clients to experience. So they radioed them and said, hey guys, get off the snow machines and go over the next ridge and then start barking like a dog, and you'll hear these wolves howling, and maybe they'll come in and you'll get to shoot one. But they were very, very afraid. They said, no, we're safer here on the snowmobile. Really? Really? I don't know. I guess they could start it up and outrun the wolf or something. I don't know. Don't be afraid of the wilderness. There are some amazing things in the wilderness for you. I hate wilderness experiences. I wish right now was the time when there were no tears and no crying and no sorrow and no pain. I wish the flu didn't exist. I wish relationships were amazing all the time. But that's called heaven, and we're not there yet. Between here and heaven, we get to engage some wilderness experiences. Was that really biblical? Well, the 23rd Psalm talks a little bit about it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you're with me. See, God's with you in the wilderness. Another part of that psalm is he prepares a table before me in the, what? Presence of my enemies. I know, I hate that. I hate that part. I want to go back up to the first verse with the still waters and green pastures. Can we just hang out there, please? But instead, we have to engage these wilderness experiences. So don't be afraid of the wilderness. Definitely don't stop in the wilderness. That old country song, it says, if you're going through hell, don't stop. Right? Do not stop here. Keep going. Get through the wilderness. Keep moving. You can discover your upgrade in the wilderness. When we handle the wilderness well, we experience the upgrades. So the question might be, are you handling your wilderness well? Some days, yes. Some days, no. Some days I'm doing okay, and other days I'm whining and complaining and accusing, and it's not fair, and finger pointing in the wilderness. When I'm doing that, I guarantee you I'm not going to get the upgrade that God has for me. He's just going to hang out and wait until I quit whining, quit being negative, quit accusing and quit being a victim. If you're not careful, you can act like you're a victim and just hang out in the wilderness the rest of your life. You don't want to do that. In case you didn't know, you don't want to do that. There are so many examples in the Bible of people going through a wilderness experience. Moses, did Moses have a wilderness experience? In the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be talking a lot more about some of these guys. But Moses is just hanging out, minding his own business. He kind of made the big mistake and killed somebody in Egypt and got chased out. And he's in the wilderness and he's taking care of sheep. There's kind of a common theme there, it seems like, in the Bible. He's hanging out with sheep in the wilderness, and then all of a sudden, he sees this burning bush, and God speaks to him. I think Moses got an upgrade in the wilderness. Yeah, he did. He really did. Joshua, he just hung out with Moses in the wilderness and watched him navigate things well, and he ended up getting a lot of upgrades. He was kind of quietly learning from Moses' wilderness experiences. Yeah. Some other people. Elijah, already talked about him. Joseph, did this guy have a wilderness experience or what? It looked pretty bad, you know. His brothers hated him, sold him into slavery, and he's doing okay. And then the wife, she does her little lustful thing and lies about him, and he gets thrown into prison. And all of a sudden, through all these processes, I think Joseph is getting upgrades, upgrades, upgrades. He's keeping his spirit sweet. He's believing in God. He's knowing the dream's going to come true. God's going to pull through for me. If I just navigate the wilderness well, I'm going to come out on the other end with this upgrade. And what do you think of that upgrade from the dungeon to the prime minister of Egypt? Now, is that an upgrade or what? God's able to take you from the lowest of lows and rapidly move you to that high place that he wants you all along. He's able to do that. Daniel, David had a couple wilderness experiences, and we'll talk about some of those guys a little later. What are some examples of wilderness experiences that, well, maybe some of the people today wouldn't know what those examples might be? They could be a tragedy, a trauma in your life, and you're in the wilderness. You could be betrayed by a friend or family member or a coworker. A severe disappointment. You had your hopes set on this, but instead that never happened. And you got thrown into a pit and sold into slavery like old Joseph did, you know. That could be the wilderness for you. A health crisis could be a wilderness. It's just struggling with your health. Saying, God, why me? This, I hate this pain. This is miserable. You could just hang out in the wilderness and be a victim to your health issues if you're not careful. Financial crisis and problems. Some of you are going, oh, that one's mine, that one's mine. Some of you are going, check, check, check all of these, you know. That's a bummer. You know, hopefully you don't check all of these. Relational breakdowns can be a wilderness time. Death and grief can be a wilderness time. An unkept promise that you're really counting on didn't come true. Anything that discourages you, anything that depresses you, and listen to this last one, anything that angers you could be your wilderness. Sometimes we're moved into the wilderness because of our own bad choices. Anybody admit that? I've been in the wilderness because of my own. I was rotor tillering the other day, and I see Larry laughing down here, you know. Sorry to bring up a painful event, but I've had a lot of those just bad choices that pushed me into the wilderness. Sometimes it wasn't a bad choice, it was just circumstances that surprised me, that was at the moment beyond my control, and it bit me. Sometimes it's our own choices. Sometimes it's way beyond our control just due to circumstances in life. Sometimes stuff just happens, right? The rain falls on the just and the unjust. Sometimes it waters us, and sometimes it washes us downstream, you know? Sometimes stuff just happens in life. Sometimes God leads us into the wilderness to test us and upgrade us. Ooh, does he really do that? He does. There are times that God says, come on, Kelly, we're going into the wilderness. I remember when I was 21, 22 years old. Up to that point, life had been easy. And church was awesome. Everybody loved me. I loved everybody. At least I thought so. I thought that's the way it was. And then God just said, Kelly, you're going to go through some very difficult times. And I'm going to use these times to shape you, to build you. And I thought, okay. And he was true. God was right again. He's always right, isn't he? And he just led me through some wilderness where people lied about me. And for a couple years, people just pushed out a bad reputation about me. And I was pretty naive about it, really. I was just kind of, oh, they must be having a bad day. I really didn't notice. It was like 2 years later, people are coming up and they're apologizing to me. And I'm going, I didn't really notice. You were trying to be mean and sarcastic, but it, woo! I thought, it was at that moment I thought, I must have passed the test okay. Because I didn't feel like a victim. I wasn't waiting to finally, 2 years later, and you obey God and apologize to me. So I thought when I was a little oblivious to it all, and it was painful and it was weird, but I just thought, oh, well, it's just, you're just having a bad year or something, you know. Sometimes God leads you into the wilderness to test you and then upgrade you. Why the test? Because sometimes you don't know you need an upgrade until you fail the test. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You thought everything was cool. You thought you were strong. You thought you were holy. You thought you were humble. You thought you were loving and kind. You thought, until this test occurred, you thought you were full of faith and power. Then all of a sudden, your world was rocked. And some stuff come out that wasn't so pretty. And God says, let me upgrade you right there. And if we're wise, we just say, please hurry, Jesus. Yes, upgrade me, upgrade me. The cause is not important, even though we love to ask why. It's important that we navigate through the wilderness. Did you create it? Doesn't matter. Circumstances of life? Doesn't really matter. Is God leading you into it to upgrade you? Doesn't really matter. What really matters is that you navigate it well. And you find your upgrade while you're there. Graham Cook says, when you get knocked down, he said, you should pick up something useful while you're down there and get back up. That's kind of the upgrade we're talking about a little bit. Pick up something useful while you're down there and come back up. So our character can be revealed in the wilderness. Sometimes that's a good thing, sometimes that's a bad thing. It's like, hey, I passed the test, cool. Other times it's, oh, Jesus, help me, please. God wants to upgrade you and upgrade your character in the wilderness. The wilderness is not designed to break you. Learn this. The wilderness is not designed to break you. It's designed to make you. Do not allow yourself to be broken in the wilderness times. Let God make you into something amazing. Let's look at Luke chapter 4, verse 1 through 13. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. There we have the Holy Spirit leading Jesus into the wilderness. He was tempted for 40 days by the devil. 40 days. And in those days, he ate nothing. Talk about fasting. Man, we struggled for the 21, you know what I mean? But he was 40. And he wasn't just doing a partial fast. He ate nothing for 40 days. And after those days had ended, he was hungry. Really. I don't even think they needed that part, do you? 40 days without food, and he's hungry. It's like stating the obvious right there. And the devil said to him, if you're the Son of God, command the stones to become bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. The devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, "All this authority I will give you, and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whomsoever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, 'Thou shalt worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.'" Then he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." You know that Satan can quote scripture? He did right there, didn't he? And Jesus answered him and said, "It has been said, 'You shall not tempt the Lord your God.'" Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. I wish I could say that if you successfully navigate the wilderness experience, you'll never have to go through another one. But we find here that Satan left Jesus and was looking for a later time when he would come and tempt him again. I know that's a bummer. But you can defeat the enemy every time in every wilderness. Jesus, just before he was crucified, he was being tempted again. And he said, "Satan has come, but he has found nothing in me." I love that. I love that. He's trying to tempt me, but he's got nothing. I hope to be able to say that someday, truthfully. Probably can't today. Hebrews chapter 4:15 says, "Jesus was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." You got to know that Jesus understands your battles. He understands your temptations. He understands the warfare that you go through. He understands your wilderness times. That verse is so comforting. It's talking about he's our intercessor. He's our Savior. And he was tempted in every single way you and I are tempted. He experienced every temptation that we have experienced. Just let that settle into your spirit a little bit. Jesus experienced every temptation any human being would ever experience, yet he did it without sin. That's why he's our Savior. He overcomes. And because he did, we can too. But he says he's touched with compassion because of what you go through. He understands it. He really does understand it. Jesus was tempted to be selfish. That first temptation was, you're hungry, you're the Son of God. Use your power for your own purposes and needs. Go ahead, be selfish with your power. Be selfish with your ability. Why don't you do something for yourself? You deserve it. 40 days. Way to go, dude. You're so saintly. You deserve a break today. You deserve something for yourself. Come on. Anybody ever hear that temptation? This morning? Yeah. That's a real common one. Why are you so deprived? It's easy to get selfish in the wilderness. Man, I just finished the 21 days of fasting, and on the 22nd, there was nothing safe in the refrigerator. Nothing. I should have went out and tried to turn stones into bread. I was so ready to feel like a victim of food suffering. And I was going to replenish my body with sugars and starch. That's stuff you're not supposed to be eating that much of anyway. But so I understand when you can feel so deprived in the wilderness, can't you? Everybody else has a cool car. I want a cool car. Everybody else has a cute girl. I want a cute girl. Everybody else has whatever, whatever, a new iPhone. I want a new. If you're not careful, you can feel so deprived that you turn selfish in the wilderness. Man. Can I get an amen out there?
Amen.
Yeah. Do you know somebody? If it wasn't you, do you know somebody that really gets selfish when they're in the wilderness? Ladies talk about when us guys get sick, we get a little whiny and like the sky is falling. And not me. Kari doesn't understand that. But other girls talk about that, you know. We can get really selfish if we're not careful, feel like a victim. Satan appeals to a legitimate desire. Listen to this. Satan appeals to a legitimate desire, and he tries to get you to meet that in an illegitimate way. Jesus was hungry, but he was trying to get him to meet his hunger need in an illegitimate way. There's times when I'm mad, and Satan wants me to deal with my anger in an illegitimate way. There's times I'm feeling deprived and neglected and overlooked and underprivileged, and Satan wants me to try to deal with that in an unethical, illegitimate way. We've got to be careful with that. I deserve it. Got to be careful with that. God wants you to get your needs met, but only the right way. God totally wanted Jesus to get nutrition. Totally. Just in a legitimate way. Go to McDonald's or something. Don't make the stones into bread. Jesus' answer was to stand firmly on God's word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You and I, we don't live by our emotional, physical needs and desires. We can't live that way. That will never serve us well. We must live on the word of God, by every word that God speaks. God wants your need met, and he has plans to get your needs met. Don't try to short-circuit it and go an illegitimate route to get your need met. Man, I'm stressed out. I'm full of anxiety. I need a drink. That's probably not the best way to deal with your stress and anxiety. God wants you to have peace. I think he talks about that in the Bible quite a bit. He wants peace in your life, but that's not a great way. And we could talk about a whole bunch of other things. So the need that you have, God cares. He feels it. He understands. He knows all about it, and he has a way to meet the need. Don't jump ahead of him. Don't let your emotional, physical needs drive you. Let the word of God drive you. You're really safe when you do the word. You're really safe when you do that. Next, Satan was trying to give Jesus a shortcut to the purpose and desire. Hey, Jesus, all the authority on planet Earth, all these kingdoms have been given to me. Say, well, how did he get them? Adam turned it over to him when he sinned there in the garden. And now Satan's the ruler of this world. And so he legitimately had a claim. Jesus didn't defend that. Wait a minute, he didn't say that. He said, no, you will serve God, and him only will you serve. And sometimes Satan wants to give you and I a shortcut to get our need met. He is going to come and rule the world. Not yet. Not at that moment, but it will happen. Satan says, let me give you a shortcut. We can avoid the whole cross thing if you just do it my way. You know, that's what he's saying. We can avoid that whole cross thing. Just come do it my way. And Satan's always saying, Kelly, we can avoid that. We can avoid that. We can avoid that. Just let me give you this shortcut. You need some money. They've got extra money. They don't need all that money. Why don't you steal their money? Let's give you a shortcut. There's all sorts of temptations where the enemy's saying, let me give you a shortcut. You don't have to suffer. You don't have to go to the cross. The easy way is seldom the best way. Anybody know that to be true? The easy way is seldom the best way. Not always, but seldom, right? Get behind me, Satan, is what Jesus said. You know, you and I need to learn that phrase. Just when the temptation's coming, just get behind me, Satan. Jesus said it to Peter one day too, didn't he? Get behind me, Satan. So Peter was just a little out of sorts with the will of God. And he says, get behind me. Because that was the temptation Satan was going to bring to him. You don't have to go to the cross. Now Satan's using Peter to say, you don't have to go to the cross. It's just another angle. How do you know that Satan, if he doesn't get you this way, he'll sneak around and try to get you this way? And if that doesn't work, he'll sneak around and try to get you this way. And you just got to keep saying, get behind me, Satan. I'm going to worship God, and he's the only one I'm going to worship. I'm not going an alternate route. Satan loves to suggest alternate routes for you and I. You don't have to do all that. You don't have to be that holy. You don't have to pray that much. You don't have to go to church that much. He's always given us these alternate routes. Always. The last temptation was an appeal to Jesus' powers and abilities. He even quotes the scripture, you can jump off this pinnacle. The angels will catch you. You're not going to get hurt. It was just tempting him. Use your powers in a wrong way. None of us are superheroes, but we all have powers. And Satan loves to tempt us to use our powers in the wrong way. And Jesus says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So be careful. Don't use your powers in the wrong way. Watch your pride. Don't tempt God. Anybody ever have a problem with pride? Yeah. Me too. When it was all over, Jesus came out of the wilderness in the power of the Spirit. I love that last part that we read. Jesus came out of the wilderness in the power of the Spirit. Man, you and I can go into the wilderness for whatever reason, as long as we navigate it well and get our upgrade while we're there, we can come out of the wilderness in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what I want for you. I want to encounter God in the wilderness. Sometimes when I'm in the wilderness, I want to give up. I want to quit. I want to whine. I want to complain. I want to blame and point fingers. I want to tell God how bad it is sometimes when I'm in the wilderness. But God says, Kelly, if you will let me, you can encounter me in those most difficult times, and I will bring you out of that situation in the power of my Holy Spirit, and you will be stronger, more anointed than you ever were before, and you can go fulfill my destiny, my calling that's on your life. And the guys that we're going to talk about in the next few weeks, Moses and Joseph and those guys, didn't they come out of their wilderness with powerful anointing, with ability? I think of Moses. Man, this dude was like 10 plagues, parting the Red Sea, bringing water out of a rock, manna's fallen down from heaven. That's a whole lot better than taking care of a few sheep in the wilderness. What kind of an upgrade does God have for you? Say, well, I'm in the prison because my brothers didn't like me and a woman lied about me and I'm in prison. Yeah, but if you'll navigate that well, you can become prime minister of Egypt. God has a way of taking you from the worst to the best, as long as you'll let him upgrade you during the worst. If you'll watch your character and grow your character and do what the Word says instead of what your flesh wants to do, if you'll do that, I think Arby talked about that last week, didn't he? If you'll do that, you can come out of the wilderness upgraded, experiencing God. You'll be Jack the Giant Killer. That's cool, huh? I want to be that. I want to be that. Let's pray. God, thank you today that the wilderness is not going to break us. It's going to make us. And we give you permission God, to just speak to us, correct us, impart new things to us in our wilderness times. God, we need to encourage others that are going through a wilderness time. God, that it's going to be okay. And we're praying for them, and we're believing with them, and they're going to come out upgraded. It doesn't feel like it. There's probably some people in the building listening to this right now where they're going, yeah, right. It doesn't feel like that. And I know it doesn't feel like it. But God, we don't live by our feelings. We live by your word. Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God,